make.
Okay, good morning. A call to meeting over the State Government Budget Division for March 9th, 2009. Let the record reflect we have a quorum present. Also, we are meeting at a somewhat not our normally scheduled time. It's 11 o'clock scheduled time this morning because normally this would be a floor session, but because we have the Regents Convention today, that's why we're meeting a little bit earlier. We have three items on the agenda today, all three bills. All from Senator Rest. And Senator Rest, did you have any preference as to which order you go in?
I would like to start with the searchable database.
Okay, Senate File 91, searchable database of state expenditures website requirements. Senator Rest.
And Mr. Chairman, working with the MMB folks, I do have an amendment for the division to consider. I believe Mr. Bobbin has it.
Okay, it's been distributed out. This has gone through the policy committees, of course, so you'll have to let us know what it does.
Right.
Go ahead, Sarah.
The bill overall is to support the MMB's activities currently to develop a searchable database on state expenditures. And I've been working and talking with them for how to set that up, who they're to consult with, in particular the the chairs of committees to have connections with the legislative auditor's office, et cetera, who is here, also to who can testify about bill and respond to questions. And then I'm going to ask Mr. Yocum to explain the impact of the amendment. The first one allows the first part of it allows or does not, it takes away the requirement to have columns with internally to be able to aggregate the fiscal years and instead present the information so that kind of manipulation and flexibility would be there for the actual user of the information. And instead of having the information, I guess I can't explain it. Instead of having the information by discrete category for the legislative auditor's office, the website is just required to have a link to the website that would include where then a user would be able to see the particularly the financial audits, but also the any kind of financial audit for an agency, but also program evaluations done on that agency, rather than presenting the information, the raw information on the website itself. So that is that's the amendment.
Okay, welcome to the Budget Division. You'll need to identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kurt Yocum. I'm with Minnesota Management and Budget. As the Senator said, we're actually working on a searchable database right now with all expenditures that we hope to have up and running very, very quickly. It's in the final stages of just making sure that all Minnesotans can utilize this website, making sure that all the accessibility requirements are met, and then also making sure we're working with the other state agencies to make sure that there's not confidential data on the website, and just making sure that's appropriately scrubbed, but we should be there. The purpose of the amendment, as Senator Rest said, the first line was of deleting or an aggregation of fiscal years. As Senator Rest pointed out, the intent of the website is all the data will be available for those particular years. It's just a matter of letting the user export the data and manipulate in whichever format, a spreadsheet type that they would like to do. In order to actually do that right on the website, the amount of memory that would be needed is is very costly. That's approximately a $200,000 price tag on that. And so the intent is to allow the individual to export the data and manipulate it whichever way they can, and so they can still aggregate it in that format. They just, at least initially, won't be able to do it right on the screen. And then as far as I think Senator Rust adequately explained the section about the audits, is just tightening up the language and making sure that folks know what exactly is out there, what has been audited, what is in the possibility. And we thought the most effective way to do that was with the Office of Legislative Auditor. And I think the only other item was on Section 3, the effective date. Over in the House chamber, there were some conversations about just making it clear, did everything in the bill have to be in place on July 1st, 2009? The issue
well, this
is
the Senate, of course.
Exactly. And
what they want to talk
we didn't
about
think
there,
it was going to be a problem. We just wanted to make it clear. I think in Subdivision 8 of the bill, as it is in consultation, it's fairly clear that it has to be certified. Any RFPs going forward has to be certified that it will be compliant with this legislation. And we were just putting in the clarification that when this system is built, everything has to be, everything in the bill we have to be capable of doing.
So does the amendment in any way affect the fiscal note?
The Subdivision 6 on the audits would affect the fiscal note. And
we
don't
have a fiscal note.
We didn't. This doesn't affect the fiscal.
Okay, the audits. Okay.
So the answer is, even by adopting the amendment, the fiscal note's unchanged.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so it would still require about $200,000 in fiscal year 10, and then an ongoing cost of $16,000 every year after that. Is that
with the understanding? Yeah, correct. The amendment deletes or an aggregation of fiscal years, but with the understanding that we had with the senator of what was expected, the intent. Originally, it was going to be at about $400,000, but that change, the legislative intent allowed us to bring it down because we wouldn't need the $200,000, and we incorporated that into our assumptions.
I see. Okay.
Thank you.
Is there discussion on the A5 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Rust moves adoption of the A5 amendment. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. The proposed motion prevails. The A5 amendment is adopted. Senator Rust, did you have anything further you wanted to discuss about Senate Files 91?
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to have a word from Mr. Nobles about the bill.
On the searchable database, that's fine if
you
wishes to.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Yoakum tells me that there was some confusion in his response on the fiscal note, and there would, by that amendment, that A5 amendment, there's an updated fiscal note would show a reduction of $25,000.
Reduction of 25. So instead of $200,000, it'd be what, 175?
175.
I see. Okay. Okay. Startup costs. And
so we're getting closer and closer to something that's doable, maybe.
As I'm reading through the description on page 3, excuse me. I'm sure we'll get an updated fiscal note, but where does that? What numbers change as a result of that? I'd
have to ask Mr. Yoakum to come back.
Mr. Yoakum, could you
just
identify how the numbers are going to change as a result of this amendment?
Whoever,
please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, Dennis Munkwitz, the CFO from MMB. And I'm wondering what page 3 you're looking.
I'm sorry, I've got the fiscal note
fiscal
here.
Note.
Okay.
I've got the fiscal note on page 3. They identify a number of cost, expenditure, and or revenue formula, and they list a number of items that I guess would be done for the first year, and I'm just not quite sure what the amendment changed in these items.
Mr. Chair, in item number 1, where it talks about the contract work to recreate the reporting tool, each portion of the reporting tool for contracts, expenditures, tax data, et cetera. There is a cost of $5,000 each for a contractor's work and $20,000 for labor on each one of those five components. So the first part would be reduced by $25,000.
Okay. I see. Okay. Thank you. That clears it up for me. Other, and I don't know, did Mr. Nobles wish to testify on this bill, or did you want him to?
I just was going to ask Mr. Nobles just to indicate whether they would, because I have worked with them on all of these bills, that they would be satisfied with the link rather than the specific information in the cells as to getting at this consumer-friendly way of dealing with transparency of state expenditures, appropriations, et cetera, to be provided by this robust program from MMB that other states are moving toward as well.
Mr. Nobles, welcome back to the Budget Division.
Mr. Chairman and the members, for the record, my name is Jim Nobles. I'm the legislative auditor, and I will just say two quick things. Number one, I think clearly this is a step in the right direction, not only for the purposes that were originally intended to provide greater transparency and accountability for the state government operations, but I think this will get us moving in the right direction towards complying with federal requirements under the stimulus legislation as well. And secondly, we will have no trouble complying with this. We already have a website that includes information about completed audits and audits that are in process, so we're happy to be linked to the website that Senator Rest is establishing.
And, Mr. Chairman, it was also my hope, and I don't know whether it's possible or not, but when the stimulus money was is being discussed, one of the things that the federal government did was to fund its own website, recovery.gov. Mm-hmm. And the MMB has talked about in other settings about being able to have different object codes for the federal stimulus money, different from any other kind of federal money that we get, to be able to track, that. And I suggested to Mr. Showalter that if the federal government is using stimulus money to set up their own website, that the project that they're currently working on, the involvement in the legislature with this bill, and the accountability issue of tracking the stimulus money, that there might be, or to ask him to see whether dollars to get this up and running and certified from the federal stimulus money could be used for this searchable database that would include the federal stimulus money as well, and we could get, you know, a twofer here. If some of the, because I wouldn't think that they necessarily have to have, they could integrate, I guess, the systems, although I know that they have also something up and running, and I don't know what the site is, but I'm certainly publicizing it for my constituents that want to follow in Minnesota what's happening with the federal stimulus dollars, as well as on recovery.gov, and maybe Mr. Yoakum can tell us what the site is. I don't remember it offhand.
Yeah, I do recall, I mean, some of the summaries I've seen did talk about some money, stimulus money for technology, but I suppose if, you know, if we can use some of it for these purposes, that would be helpful, but I don't know the answer to that. Mr. Yoakum?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, Kurt Yoakum with MMB. We are definitely checking in to see if there will be federal funds available to help. I think everybody has heard quite a bit about President Obama's comments to make sure that the federal stimulus dollars are very transparent and that everybody can trace where those dollars are going. The One of the little-known parts about the federal stimulus bill will be the, all the federal reporting requirements, and those are definitely very, very extensive. The intent at Minnesota Management and Budget, is, as the Senator said, is to try giving all the stimulus funds special accounting codes to make sure that all those can be tracked. On the MMB website, which is www.mmb.state.mn.us, right as you click on that site, right front and center, is a link to a federal stimulus site that we've put together. And on that, there's the frequently asked questions section, a 200-page document that just went up. The first three pages, I think, are what are most useful to the general public. That shows every fund that the federal stimulus package, at least as far as we can tell to date, has pots of money going to, which federal state agency, or excuse me, which state agency will most likely be administering those funds. And then as far as the bigger document goes, right next to each one of those pots of money is a page number where the larger document explains those in greater detail. At some point this week, we expect the Federal Office of Management and Budget to put out on the recovery.gov website a listing of all the competitive grants, which I think is what a lot of folks are really interested in right now. And so I have the comprehensive listing of those, and then within 10 days of that being posted, they're supposed to have the applications available for download for those. And we, as soon as the moment that goes up, we'll be linking from our website and letting the public know that that's available, so they can access that right from the website so everybody can see what the competitive grants are available. And as we get more information about those, we'll also, for people that have questions about those, connect them with the appropriate state agencies that will also help have the expertise in those.
To the extent, you know, that, that you are in touch with the federal agencies, anything you find out about technology, I think, you know, this division would be interested in. For instance, I mean, we got the Office of Enterprise Technology that's trying to fund their e-licensing initiatives, and we've got a couple of things in this budget division. So, you know, anything we find out what might be helpful as we have to put together our budget. Senator Olsen, did you have a – or Senator Pappas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have any involvement or responsibility with the federal grants? Like, we do have an Office of Grants Management now, but do we have any oversight responsibility here, or
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, this federal stimulus bill has definitely been like drinking water from a fire hose. How quickly the amount of information that's coming out, and one of the issues that we're running into is that some of the federal agencies haven't been populated with all the appointees as of yet, so some are moving a little bit quicker than others as far as getting the rules and regs written. We do expect, as I said, most of that to become pretty clear within the next few days. I think the requirement from the stimulus bill or from OMB was that from 20 days of the signing of the bill, that was when all the comprehensive list of the federal grants had to be out there. We expect that the federal grants will be administered and chosen by the federal agencies, for the fact that not only can nonprofits, local governments, private individuals, but the states also can compete for some of that money. And so, therefore, we wouldn't be overseeing those particular ones. But there's probably going to be some that they might be turned over to the state. We haven't seen that in that situation, so we're thinking that's not the case, but some of that still is to be seen. That being said, there's broad categories of competitive grants that will definitely have a major amount of money: health information technology, broadband, green jobs. And to make sure that the state is effectively competing, our state department, the different departments in the state that have expertise in those areas, are trying to coordinate and work with who they would view as interested partners to make sure that we're not necessarily stepping on one another or undercutting really viable applications. Housing Finance Agency, DEED, Commerce have been out there trying to work with interested groups, just trying to see what people might be going for on some of these grants to help coordinate that and make sure that we might not be funding either at cross purposes or applying for things that might be at cross purposes, or trying to make it as complementary as possible. So that coordination is starting to go on, but that will pick up more steam in the next couple of weeks as we have a better idea of what's out there.
Other questions? Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Rest, I was just wondering, at 1.9, when you're talking about the Commissioner of Administration and Revenue, Do you want to put in the new name of revenue, or is it appropriate to leave it as
The new name for Commissioner of Finance, you mean?
Yeah. Revenue is not changing as far as we know.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and Senator Olsine, I think Senator Gimsey is carrying the bill that will make all internal references to the Department of Finance to the MMB department. So when we're doing bills this session, we continue to refer to the Commissioner of Finance.
Thank you.
If it's the will of the legislature to do that, we can just instruct the revisor wherever Commissioner of Finance appears to change it. So, but until that happens, we have to keep going the way we are. So,
even though they've changed their own name
without any legislative authority
in public.
Right. Okay. Further discussion. What I'm thinking of doing, Senator Rest and members, is that we don't have any budget targets or anything here. But if I send the bill straight to Finance, it might get lost within their shuffle. So let's just keep everything here. If we like an idea, let's just vote it to, you know, for a list for possible inclusion. If you hate a bill, let's just vote it down right at that particular point. But let's just take a vote. If it makes the list, then we will have the growing list. Then, as we put together the bill, we'll have the ones that we've looked at and know what we want to do. So, Senator Russ, what do you want to do?
Mr. Chairman, I would prefer that the bill be laid on the table here, or however you want to do it, or vote on it, but keep it here.
Why don't we take a vote to include it for possible consideration for the omnibus?
And, Mr. Chairman, on the other bills as well, I will be continuing to work to get the fiscal note under control, and or if there are dollars that come in from the feds that, in a sense, don't have to be counted against our target, that be aggressively working to make that happen.
Yeah. So Senator Russ moves that Senate File 91 as amended be considered for possible inclusion in the state government omnibus budget bill. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Rest. Which bill would you like to take up next?
The Commissioner Duties Modification Bill.
Which is Senate File 57?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
And as you know, the legislative auditor has been releasing a number of financial audits, particularly concentrating on internal controls, and we have discovered that it was not just the Department of Transportation or the Department of Natural Resources, but that there are internal controls in other areas of state government. I have been really gratified that the Department of Minnesota Management and Budget have been taking those audits very seriously and have been responding to them with seminars and meetings with the agency heads and so forth, and are consulting with the legislative auditor with regard to those financial audits. And so what this bill does is to make even more explicit the role of the currently the Department of Finance as the stopping point for financial management in state government. That indeed is their should be that commissioner's duty, and so this bill is an attempt to make that explicit and clear. And the fiscal note comes, and it's a significant one, of $500,000, because it also I think the governor or the commissioner has indicated that they are looking for more employees themselves to take on this this role for the state, and they estimate they're going to need 6 new employees to do one supervisory one for internal control consultation and meeting with the OLA that there be two internal control consultation staff and then three training positions to develop and implement a training curriculum, update policies and procedures, and provide ongoing support. Now, whether they actually need six new people to do all this, or we should be assuming, quite frankly, that even though we are clarifying in the statute that this is an obligation of the Commissioner of Finance, whether it should cost that much money, I really don't know. I'd like to think that internal control functions are a little bit like brushing your teeth. That's the analogy I use. You brush your teeth every morning, and you probably don't even remember it in particular, but if you don't brush your teeth, they get rotten. And I think that internal control functions should be a given. It should be a basic function, and it should have been happening already, as opposed to bringing on extra personnel in order to do that basic function. Nevertheless, however, their fiscal note indicates that in a sense, that they're not doing that now, and that they would need those dollars in order to fulfill that function in a reliable manner. And so there's the $500,000 fiscal note. But, Mr. Chairman, I would like to, again, call Mr. Nobles up to just because we have worked together on coming up with this bill as well. And as you know, when we have the agencies before us in this committee, I've been asking them to respond to their financial audits on every occasion, and I believe that all budget divisions should be doing that with every state agency and having them explain why not when they have not resolved findings or when there are repeat findings or when there are any number of findings. But if you'll hear from Mr. Sure. Nobles now about this bill.
And before Mr. Nobles, I mean, I think I agree with your comments, Senator Rest. I mean, they want three people to monitor whether they're encouraging and monitoring the recommendations of the legislative auditor, and we're doing it right here without any extra staff. I'm not quite sure whether they need three people to do that, and then they want three people for the training curriculum and so forth. So it raises some questions on the fiscal note, but that's the one we got. Mr. Nobles.
Mr. Chairman and members, again, for the record, my name is Jim Nobles. I'm the legislative auditor, and this I thought was more or less a housekeeping bill. It was simply making explicit what I think was already the expectation of what the Commissioner of Finance's duties are. And in fact, if you look at Clause 8, that is something that is already being done and has been done for a very long time under many governors. There is a letter sent from the Department of Finance in the name of the governor every time we issue a audit report that has findings indicating that the governor and the Commissioner of Finance expect those to be implemented, the recommendations of those audits to be implemented, and requiring reports back to the Commissioner of Finance on the implementation and resolution of the issues that are raised. In terms of the other provision, Clause 9, again, it's certainly my understanding that the Department of Finance already has in place a set of expectations in terms of internal controls, and all this clause calls for is that the commissioner would ensure that all employees with accounting and financial management responsibilities in the state government complete some form of training on those internal controls. I have consulted with the commissioner about this. We did early on. As we started issuing reports with a lot of findings, as Senator Rest has indicated, and feeling that things were deteriorating in terms of internal controls in state government, and that there was too much reliance on finding the problems after the fact, and there really needed to be more upfront preemptive action in the executive branch led by the Commissioner of Finance to emphasize the importance of internal controls. Again, I think that is certainly has always been for many years my expectation of what the job entails. And certainly the Commissioner of Finance is an appointee of the governor. The governor can certainly set the terms and parameters to some degree of what those duties are and how they're going to be implemented. But I think the Commissioner of Finance is also a very important position for the overall management of state government. And you, as the legislature, certainly have the prerogative to define what some of those duties and tasks should be. So that was the purpose of including these two provisions in law.
Well, it certainly seems to me we've heard evidence here, and I'm sure other committees and divisions have heard it too, that we're running into some of these problems that you're finding because the agencies are laying off the very people whose job it is to be making sure this work gets done. And now we're coming back and saying, well, it's going to cost us $500,000 to basically do our jobs. The large agencies should have people in place to monitor that stuff. We've been seeing more problems with the small agencies, but this one raises questions. Anyway, Sarah Pappas.
Mr. Chair and Senator Rest, this number 8 seems to be drafted a little weakly. I think it seems to be drafted. I think it could be more strongly drafted, and perhaps if we assume that there already is a process, we just need to add monitor implementation of recommendations made to state agencies. I don't really think we need to establish a process, and we don't need to encourage. Mm-hmm. It should be kind of stated forthrightly.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, I think that would be an improvement if it read then and implement recommendations
right.
made to state agencies by the legislative auditor.
Yes, I'd make that motion.
Sure.
I mean, if they're already, this is something they should have been doing, instead of implying that there's something new, this is to strengthen what they should already be doing. So I'd move that we strike establish a process to and strike encourage and strike tation, so that'll read
gotcha.
Monitor and implement strike of recommendations made to state agencies.
Well, the motion is on page 1, line 22, to strike establish a process to strike encourage implementation of and insert the word implement.
Yes.
So it would read parent 8, monitor and implement recommendations made to state agencies by the legislative auditor. People understand that motion. Is there a discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion fails. The amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Yeah.
Or Senator Rest, I'm sorry.
Then me too.
Mr. Chairman, I think maybe rather than the commissioner, going back to that same line, implementing, it is an oversight function. And maybe the word should be, instead of implement, to monitor and oversee implementation. Because we would want the state agencies to be the ones actually implementing that. So I wonder if you'd
Senator Russ, having voted on the prevailing side, moves to reconsider the motion by which the Pappas Amendment was adopted. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, the motion prevails. We have the motion back before us. It sounds like, Senator Rest, you were suggesting, instead of establish a process to be deleted, strike the word encourage and then insert the word oversee and then strike of. Oversee, implementation. You still have of, I'm sorry.
Monitor and oversee implementation
of recommendations.
Of recommendations.
Gotcha. That is the motion before us. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The Rest Amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, on number 9, I'm wondering, Senator Rest, if it shouldn't just be disseminate policies on internal controls. And maybe the training is, shouldn't you hire people that are already trained? If they're providing financial management responsibilities. I just want you to think about maybe the fiscal note is a result of an expectation that there's going to be this training or additional training that should already be part of what goes on as you get oriented to a new job, and that you're hired with fiscal background to perform that job.
Sir Rust.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, I agree with you. I don't know how exactly how to change the language there. With the exception of a couple of experiences that we've had in these financial audits, and what comes to mind is, I don't remember the name of it exactly, but that combative sports group.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very small agencies.
Right.
They professed that they did not know mm-hmm. that what they were doing was either illegal or unethical, that they had no training in it, in how to operate in a way that met the goals of internal controls, and that they only found out about that they're doing something that was not a best practice by an audit.
Right.
And what this is trying to get at is to make sure that people that do come, particularly those that are unsophisticated in those instances or smaller agencies, that there is a requirement for that training, and that they can't say they didn't know
right.
until an audit has actually taken place. Now, maybe the first part of that line 2.1 could be changed, but I wouldn't want to change the thing of participating in regular courses of training on internal controls and financial management, also because the standards under which government agencies are audited and are supposed to comport themselves, they actually change from time to time, and in the same way that it happens in the private sector, often in response to some sort of scandal. Enron comes to mind, mm-hmm. And the Sarbanes-Oxley reporting requirements, et cetera, and that has an impact as well on the Government Accounting Standards Board, the GASB provisions, and you don't just pick that up. So I wouldn't want to say, here's another policy. I do think that people need training and updating.
Mr. Chairman?
Let me just, on the combative sports group, we did hear conflicting testimony on that. There was testimony from the Department of Finance saying that the guidance had been offered to them. They rejected it. They didn't do it. So, Senator Pappas.
I just don't want us to kind of overreach. Mm-hmm. If the problem is some of the small agencies who don't have financial training because they don't hire a bookkeeper, an accountant, or whatever. So let's just think about, could we streamline this on 2.1 and say only disseminate policies on internal controls instead of develop training materials? And could we add a clause, 2.4, maybe say as needed? Or change this to a regular course of training to regular updates on internal controls and financial management. Something like if someone needs to have training, they shouldn't be able to refuse mm-hmm. it. If the Department of Finance determines that the person in charge of this agency doesn't have the necessary financial background.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think
Mr.
about
Chairman
some of that.
And Senator Pappas, I'd be more open to the adding the as needed. I guess I'm fine with the beginning of what you said.
Okay.
But even though I used the example mm-hmm. of the extreme example of combative sports, we found it in the Department of Transportation.
Mm-hmm.
We found it in the Department of Human Services. We found it in the Department of Natural Resources.
lack of attention to internal control mm-hmm. was internal controls was just as much a feature of those financial audits in huge agencies as it was in the small ones. Okay. But that particular small one had nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they clearly were flying by the seat of their pants there. Mm-hmm.
Which seems to me the language that you have on page 2 is what leads the fiscal note to say that they want 3 training positions. Mm-hmm. So probably I would try to address that. The rest of my thinking is maybe we should just set the bill aside to give you an opportunity to revisit it, and then we can bring it back up when you think,
sure.
think you got the language ready.
And Mr. Chairman, the language in 9 did come from me to me from MMB to
sure.
to start with, but then it occasioned the fiscal note. But we'll see if we can change the language to accomplish the goal mm-hmm. With a more modest fiscal note.
Yes, Sarah Roebling.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I agree with Senator Pappas on that we don't want to keep training and retraining and keep people, you know, and you hear this from employees sometimes. Oh, we have to go to that darn training session again, and I'm not going to learn anything new, and I've been through it 5 times already.
Right.
And, you know, they think of it as a waste of time. So we want to make sure we're not wasting employee time and putting them through it more than they need.
And, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Roebling and Senator Rest, maybe we could look at what the goal is and focus on that rather than telling them how to accomplish the goal. But it should be, the goal should be to make sure that the people in charge of financial duties are competent and trained. And however they get there, whether it's by training or by being hired that way, you know, it would should be up to management.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, and one of the reasons for this bill is to hold someone accountable for that. And and to clarify that is a responsibility of the Commissioner of Finance, and not just diffuse responsibility where people can say, "Well, I didn't know," mm-hmm. or "I only found out afterwards," or "We don't really care what the OLA says. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it the way we're going to do it, regardless of whether it meets some little piddly." Internal control, financial management finding from them. And there's an attitude adjustment that needs to be made. And I'm not saying in every agency, but mm-hmm. certainly in some, mm-hmm. that the financial audits are not taken seriously by the legislature and that there is no place where the buck stops. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to take an affirmative step in transparency and accountability, working together with the Commissioner of Finance, because he does take it seriously, to make sure that accountability and performance requirements with regard to financial management is not something that the legislature is going to blink at. And so I'm willing to rework some of the language, but not willing to say, if it seems like a good idea, do it. But if it doesn't, we don't want to burden your employees with having to know what best practices are and what the updated GASBs are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's set Senate File 57 aside for the time being, and when you think you've got the language, let us know. We'll bring it right back up. So,
okay.
The other bill we have today is Senate File 107. Senator Rest, this is state funds misuse provisions clarification.
Well, we have another fiscal note. Looking at the first engrossment, this is another example of trying to clarify what the responsibilities are and how certain actions of public employees within the state agencies are to be regarded. The bill and the proposal in the statutes lists four acts that constitute misconduct of public officials and provides criminal sanctions for such misconduct, but misusing public funds is not among the four types of misconduct, and so we make it, this proposal makes it so. The Section 609 of the statutes also provides criminal sanctions for various other types of misconduct by public officials, but again, misusing public money is not on that list. So what we're trying to do is to clarify that misappropriating public funds, particularly under 16A139, is a criminal act similar to those that are described elsewhere in Section 609 of the statutes, and specifically would allow the legislative auditor to file a report with the county attorney with that clear criminal standard in place. Then beyond that, we are looking at establishing some best practices for investigations, working together with the Attorney General, and the fiscal note comes from the Attorney General, and I believe there's somebody here from that office. But I would then also ask Mr. Nobles, since this is something that I've worked with him on again, responding to the Sonia Pitt incident, the incident with Ms. Austin in the theft or alleged theft of $1 million from the Human Services Agency, et cetera, about why we need to beef up this area in our statutes as well.
I'd like to hear from Mr. Nobles first, and then maybe some of from the Attorney General's office can explain a bit more about the ramifications of the fiscal note. Mr. Nobles?
Mr. Chairman and members, as I think all of you know, the Office of the Legislative Auditor, although not a criminal and investigative office, from time to time finds evidence that would indicate that there has been a misuse or misappropriation of public funds. And under existing law, and that law has existed for a very long time, the legislative auditor has a responsibility to send that evidence to the appropriate county attorney for consideration of criminal prosecution, and then to the attorney general for consideration of recovery of funds through civil action. And we do that fairly frequently. It is, of course, the role of the county attorney and attorney general's office to determine whether to go forward with either criminal or civil action. But we cooperate as fully as we can in those efforts. I think this language really came forth from some legislators who were concerned that after consideration of the Sonia Pitt case and others, that the county attorney felt that in Ramsey County was unable to bring criminal charges. And so there was some interest in making some language more explicit that possibly could be used by a county attorney in the future. I don't see this really as significantly changing our current practice. Again, whenever we find evidence that we think money has been misused, we do provide all of that evidence to the county attorney. I think it really will have a greater impact on the county attorneys around the state to have a little more language in statute for consideration and whether or not they're going to bring criminal prosecution.
Okay. Is somebody, any questions to Mr. Nobles? Is somebody here from the Attorney General's office? Yeah. Come on forward. We'd like to know a little bit more about the fiscal note issues that were raised here. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Carla Heil, Assistant Attorney General. The Attorney General's office did a new fiscal note on Friday for the engrossed version of the Senate bill. I believe that was in your handouts today.
Right. It's dated March 9th, yes.
Right. And it is for one full-time attorney and one full-time staff clerical investigator. The office is willing to do this, but just for the sake of transparency, needed to reflect the extra costs that the office would incur And the extra costs are twofold. First part where it is drafting or assistant drafting the best practices with investigating state employees, compelling them to testify, but yet preserving possible criminal, working on that. And the second part of increased costs is the costs of possibly pursuing recovery of state funds from misuse by state employees. We view the language as somewhat expanding what would be referred to the Attorney General's office and expectations of seeking recovery. Certainly, the legislative auditor does an excellent job of bringing forward lack of internal controls and poor government expenditures, but the effort that would be necessary to present a case of preponderance of the evidence of actual misuse and knowledge would require extra work beyond just the legislative report.
Ms. Heil, just I don't know if you're in a position to respond to this one, but if for whatever reason the legislature just didn't fund this but wanted to do it anyway, I take it that there would be things within the AG's office that would not get done if this was to be done?
Mr. Chairman, the Attorney General's office will make every effort to fulfill all its roles.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just a little confused. In Section 4 of the bill, it says the Commissioner of Finance must develop and make available best practices policy. And in the bill brief, it says the bill requires the Attorney General to develop and make available to appoint authorities. So which is it?
No, in the fiscal notice talking about the differences between the way the House file has evolved and the Senate one, and apparently the House file referred to the Commissioner of Finance, but now we're talking about the AG, and I guess I'm confused as well, too. So, Mr. Botter, maybe
Mr.
you can...
Chairman, the engrossment indicates that it's the Commissioner of Finance and the made that amendment in the prior committee, and it's just that the summary doesn't reflect that particular amendment at this time.
Mr. Botter?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Rest, that is correct, and then I would point out that on line 2.32, the Attorney General is required to consult with the appointing authority
uh-huh.
developing that policy.
Consultation with the Attorney General.
But rather than doing it, developing it themselves, they're
sure.
just asked to consult with the appointing authority, which makes, in my mind, is a much much less involvement in terms of developing the policies to just be talking with them and not initiating them.
Okay. Is there anything else, Senator Rust, on Senate File 107, Jeff? Or, and is there anybody else who's here to be heard on that? Senator Rust, what's your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I, again, would like to keep the bill here in the committee for possible inclusion. I'm still working on clarifying and reducing the fiscal impact on the Attorney General's office, and the agency that they already assume that they have a best practices policy and that for the Commissioner of Finance, and that the bill would have no fiscal impact on the department.
Okay, Senator Rest moves then that Senate File 107, as amended, be added to the list for possible consideration in the state government budget omnibus bill. Is there a discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails. Members, we have floor session at 12:45 today, and then the Regents Convention following, you know, after that. I just want to clarify one thing. This morning, the Star Tribune had an article on interagency agreements with the governor's office, and it said that, and I was quoted as saying we would have hearings on that. Well, when in talking to the reporter, my intention, I didn't clarify that, is that we're going to have the governor's office in here anyway as part of our budget review, and those questions will come up as part of that. I didn't anticipate separate hearings on that. I said, you know, we do it all the time. So to the extent that we're going to do it, not as, as something done differently than what we do. So, but I don't think that was clarified in the report. But so at some point, I think by the end of the month, the governor's office will be in here with their budget proposals, and we'll talk to them about it then. So, okay, if nothing further, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you. It's much more-